I realized that it was not about a work-life balance. It was about work-life harmony. And what is the difference between the two? The work-life balance is when you do work, that means you have to take something out of life. And when you take a lot more life, you're taking something out of work. So how do you do something in harmony with both of them?
Deep, how's it going?
Hey, Tiff. Good. Tuesday evening. So feels, is it Tuesday? It's already Tuesday, isn't it?
I made that same mistake today. I thought it was Wednesday.
Yeah. The week suddenly feels longer now.
But we are here getting this one all ready and wrapped up for Thursday. And that makes Thursday feel very close.
It is super close. And I don't know how this is going to get out, but we've done it so far. If you get this one right, like, you know, we're so close. If you get this one right out on Thursday, I think one milestone check, 20 episodes on time every Thursday, and we are a legit weekly podcast.
Oh my gosh, it is 20 episodes and every Thursday. This is potentially the most consistent weekly commitment I've ever made.
Yeah, it felt enormous, but
not you though. I know you. You do these great 30-day challenges. And you like do it every day and you like, I am not the same person. So like for you, you're kind of like, okay, well, good. But
this one is a different level though. This one is high quality content, I feel. And hopefully some of our audience also feels that. But yeah, just putting all these things together, putting these bits and pieces together, the interviews and the intros and the hooks, it has been a learning and it's a muscle that we've slowly built. And now I think we are feeling comfortable in our skins. Finally, the mic holds itself on the right position right now, right? Like you don't have to adjust the mic too often.
Oh, well, here's a fun one for our listeners. My mic, because my mic boom, the arm doesn't fit on my desk. I pull out my desk drawer and I set the mic inside so that it's closer to my face. Little behind the scenes for you guys out there.
Yeah, I can't wait for us to have the video edition as well out.
Maybe I'll post it on the stories. People can see my very professional setup.
Yeah, just conceal the background, please. I'm not ready for that yet, but let's just do with the audio for now.
Audio it is. So, who do we have today?
This week we have Xavier Augustine. He's the CEO of yaxis.com. It's one of the leading immigration companies in India. And I've known Xavier for a long time, I think 12 years.
So I think in the interview, we talk a little bit more about how the two of you know each other. But what I'm really interested to hear from you is what about Xavier inspires you so much, Deep? Because I know that he does.
Yeah, but when I met Xavier for the first time, there was something about him that really got me hooked. And I couldn't tell what really. I followed his journey over the years. Back then, he had 100 people in his company, and now it's a 1,000 people company. So he's massively grown. What I really love about him, Tiffany, is he's got a very curious set of eyes, and he observes things so closely, and he is an incredible storyteller. And he combines all his observations and his stories and puts it out there through his blogs, through his Facebook and Instagram. And that just kind of touches me. And I really love that part. And every time he posts something, it triggers me. It gets me inspired. But on the other side, what I really admire and appreciate is he's family first guy. I've seen him in action, managing his company, his employees, his relationships. And I was at his office, I was at his home. And without a doubt for him, the family comes first. And it's such a refreshing change. It's such a...
Even managing this huge growing company, all of these employees, everything that he's got going on, he puts his family first.
Absolutely. I want to be running a company as well. And if I want to look up to something in a model, Xavier has got that. And that's what got me excited and interested. And I wanted to talk more about that.
That's amazing. I hope that the listeners enjoy today's show and can hear that as well. Hi, Xavier.
Hey, Xavier. I was telling Tiff that I got to know Xavier through Salesforce, and we sort of, you know, we started off on a business relationship. Xavier was looking for a CRM, and I was working back then in Singapore selling Salesforce. And fortunately for me, I moved to India and we got to meet. And what I saw back then was really the initial nascent stages of Y-Axis, the company that he runs, which is India is one of the most successful immigration companies. And I saw that grow in front of me. That was what, Xavier, about 10, 12 years back?
2009.
Yeah, exactly. So you were about 100 people, 150 people at that time.
Yes.
And now you are 1,000 over people, right?
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah. So I got to witness all that stuff. And over a period of time, and what's interesting is Xavier is running this company with his wife, Sabina. And they've both of them got amazing bunch of people that I absolutely love and respect who run the company and have deep appreciation for the work they do. And over the period of time, we became friends. And I was following Xavier's journey on Facebook and Instagram. And Xavier, one thing that really stands out for me, and that's probably one of the biggest reasons that you're here, is you have a very curious mind. Like, you look at everything with such curiosity, and you have an amazing ability on top of that to tell stories. So I couldn't wait for you to be on the show. And obviously, you know, you've shared your business success a lot on different channels and media. But today's angle would really be knowing Xavier as a father, as a family man. So I'm curious to talk about that, Xavier. Looking forward to that. And of course, there'll be lots of travel stories, hopefully. So without giving away the surprise, Xavier, over to you. I would love to really hear the introduction from your mouth.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Deep. Wonderful meeting you and also Tiffany now. And I don't know if Deep realizes in life's journeys how important this very call is, that he's here to tell my story. And he's such an important person in my journey. And because he came to me 12 years back, and he introduced me to this product called Salesforce at that time. And little did I know this was technology that is going to make my company successful, like hugely successful, right? And not only that, it allowed me so much freedom. It liberated me from the office. Mm-hmm. And whatever we are going to be talking is what technology has done for me. What Salesforce has done for me.
Dave, these are the fruits of your labors. Look at you. Walking around, planting seeds. I love it.
I would gladly accept parts of it, Xavier. You're being very, very kind. But I know that you have an amazing team and amazing setup all around you that's just supporting you in that initiative. So thank you. I'll gladly accept that credit as well. But the story starts a little bit earlier, right? You know, one of the posts that stood out for me as you were sharing over the last few years is this letter that you shared that you had written to one of the bank financiers in the US saying, I'll maybe, you know, spoil the story, but the short one is that he was probably asking you for all the money back as loans that you would have incurred as part of your study process. And you said, I've got a couple of options. Either I pay you or set up a business and give you a lot more or something like that. Why don't you tell that story, Xavier? I'm curious to know.
I was very clear. By the time I graduated from my school, I mean my MBA, I was very clear on what I would like to do. And I saw a great opportunity. First, in my head, the vision of a borderless world where merit matters, you know, not where you were born. I always believe that if there's a problem, you want to solve the problem. If light went off at home and you called an electrician, you want the electrician to come and fix the light that went off, right? You don't want to know, well, show me your passport first. Where were you born? I just wanted to build a world in which, you know, merit is everything. And so it was very clear. And I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure that I get into a business where I help Indian professionals and students find a career abroad. I knew that upon graduation.
Can I ask why that was so important to you?
It's important because a man needs to live to his full potential. And a passport should not be a showstopper. So the world we live in, it's like, you know, some people have advantages of where they were born. And for me, I see it as just luck, you know. So I think Cecil Rhodes said, to be born a Brit is to win the lottery of life. And so, you know, it is the first lottery that life gives you, right? You know, it's like the spores, you know, you see how the spores get dispersed, right? In, mm-hmm. When the wind takes it all, right? The wind blows and you fall this side and you fall that side. And that random natural agent cannot be the reason you lead the rest of your life, you know? So there has to be, you know, so there are lots of barriers that an individual needs to cross, usually documentation, language, and everything, to reach his full potential.
So I'm going to guess you maybe feel like you had some of those advantages, or was it not that way? Like, can you tell me a little bit about you and your family and, you know, where you went to school that influenced and maybe led you to feel like you wanted to find a way to create all these paths for people?
I went to the University of South Carolina.
And you went to college in the States then.
It is where I learned that, you know, very simply put, that every country has different resources, you know, and you have to trade with each other. Trade is very important. It is better to trade than not to trade. You know, and I was part of the beginning of globalization. And there were two trends that were happening at the same time. There was globalization as well as technology. And they both rode together. And India was going to play a very important part in that globalization. During that globalization, where there was technology and there was an increased need for tech workers. And there was a reason that India became a source for this tech talent.
And that was in the 90s, wasn't it, Xavier?
In the 90s.
Yeah, so... yeah, just to give Tiffany a backstory to this one. So India wasn't an open economy back then. It was socialist and we were not open to the world. And there wasn't as much trade as Xavier's talking about back then. So I guess, Xavier, you being in the US and getting an opportunity to study and having experienced it firsthand influenced on what is possible and what India's potential is and what is not capping on or capturing at that point in time, right?
Yeah, so the way I look at it, it's the great exchange, you know? It's the great exchange. So we have talent. You know, and we buy your machinery from Germany, so we buy German cars, and then we expect you to take nurses or IT programmers or students from us. So it's not something you're doing us a favor or any country is doing us a favor by giving us visas. So what I'm trying to say is that everything is so connected.
Of course, yeah, we're all connected. We need each other, yeah.
And I realized that globalization is here. The tech is here to keep advancing and, you know, and India has a role to play here.
So you are in the States, you're going to college, getting your MBA, you start to see some of these synergies and needs and also the tech things, you know, coming into play. And that's where you see an opportunity and that's where your company jumped in. And okay. Very cool. Very, very cool.
I still want to wrap that story up, which I started. So what happened, Xavier?
Oh, yeah, the bank.
Yeah. So I wrote to the bank, but it was very clear. And then there was this reminder to pay that bill. My student loan had come up for repayment, you know, in installments.
I know exactly what you mean. Also went to school in America.
I wrote to him, you know, I can just take up a job and I can pay that. But if you give me some time, let me organize, I'll set up a business, and this is what India's opportunity is, and I want to make use of that business opportunity that is. It'll take time, but give me that chance and I'll repay the loan. And of course, I got the extension and...
Wait. You say, of course. You are the only person I have heard of this. I'm not saying there aren't more and they're not out there. I'm just saying I haven't talked to them. I know a lot of people paying student loans. That's incredible.
And I paid it in the first month's earning. I paid it in one shot.
Wow.
But I earned as soon as I went into the US and my first month's billing was good enough to pay off my student loan.
Nice. That is the American dream.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah, very cool.
Incredible. So you have this dream and you've seen this possibility and you come back to India. And what I hear is you started off Y-axis from your bedroom?
Yeah. So there was a time when it was in my apartment and started there. And it was very convenient. A walk to work was definitely...
short commute, huh?
I have 25 people in my office, you know, because I extended my whole house into an office. And the first 25 people worked from my apartment, you know.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, you know, Tiffany, if you were to visit his office, there's such a fluidity between home and office the culture. Like, you know, people feel family anywhere they are. So I've met people in the office which felt like family, and I went to his home to have a meal as well, and it just didn't feel any different. So I think that's probably already the start of that culture with 25 people in your apartment running Y-axis.
Yeah, I have never ordered a pizza for myself. It is always a community pizza, you know. I can't remember a time when I ordered a meal or something for myself. It is always a lot more.
And now, so you have your Y-axis being run from home still? No, right? So you have multiple offices, big offices all over the world.
Yeah, about 50 offices around the world. We have in India, in the Gulf, we have about 5 offices in Dubai. We have 2 offices in Australia, one in Melbourne, one in Sydney. And today, you know, it's large in terms of, we have about 62,000 inquiries a month, you know, people wanting to go abroad. Almost more than 1 inquiry a minute. And we have a large traffic, about more than 4 million visitors come to our website every year. So it keeps us busy.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is you're dealing with dreams and aspirations and hope of a lot of people. And they're not just professionals, but you could have an interesting take on young people who want to be going for the first time outside of India as 15 or 16-year-old looking for a university education in other countries. And I think we'll come to that, Xavier, in a second. I want to get to know you as a family man. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, what's the setup like at home, about your, you know, Xavier, the dad.
Yeah, I think of all the things that I take great pride in is being a father, you know. And the reason was probably because I married late. Though I dated Sabina a long time, I married late, and I had children in my 40s. You know, so I was done with most of the things that younger men look for. You know, they're trying to build their career, and or they're trying to go to the nightclubs. They're still doing all of that. I think I was done with that, right? So in 40s, I think you reach a stage of being in a nirvana stage. You accept everything, right? You know who you are. You know your business. And then comes 2 kids in the form of angels. So, I mean, they brought life, you know, into everything.
So tell me about your girls. How old are they? What are their names?
My eldest is Zara, 15, and my younger one is 13.
15 and 13. Oh, wow. So you are in the full throes of the teenage years.
So far, so good. We don't have any teenage issues yet.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So tell me about them. What are they like?
Yeah, Zara, she's very ambitious as a person, you know, and she's very particular about things. If she makes something, like she bakes something, it would be so perfect. Like anything that she does, she would do it with great detail. And she's very particular about her clothes, the way she dresses up. And she likes to go and study in New York someday. And stuff like that. My younger daughter is very funny. She's got a great sense of humor and very intelligent academically too. So, you know, both of them, bright students, first of all. You know, they've got very good education. They're academically very bright, socially, you know, very confident. And yeah, they're happy children.
Yeah, nice. So it's funny because when I hear you talk about, in just these few minutes, right, when I hear you talk about both your daughters, but also your personality and your wife's, it sounds like Zara, the older one, leans a little more with your wife's personality, and maybe the younger one is a little bit more towards your personality. Are there things that you see in your kids? Steve and I often talk about, like, how a child is like holding up a mirror to you. And it's the good and the bad, right? All the things about yourself that you love, maybe that you don't love. And you see those in your children.
I see a lot of my wife in my children, right? Especially in the younger one, in her tactics of getting things, right? I see the mother. So I know, like, you know, she'll keep quiet for a long time. I'll tell you, don't worry, it's not you doing it, it's your genes. Right. So I know, and you get to see your own self and your wife when they play out their mannerisms. Mm-hmm. So I think they tend to follow a lot of their mother in many ways, you know, because she's the woman there. I think it's easier because in the dressing, my wife is very well dressed, right, all the time. She's like proper. She's so well dressed, even the night clothes before going to sleep will be proper.
All matching.
All matching. Even I remember when we were bringing up the kids that after the kid is sleeping, she's got to sleep. No, Sabina would change her night clothes into... She'd be like, you're going to disturb her sleep. No. Yeah, they're always well-dressed kids. But it comes from the mother again, you know? So another thing that comes very, very strongly from the mother is her own sense of fitness, you know? We have a gym upstairs, you know, on the fourth floor of our, and so Sabina goes to exercise there, and she's always into fitness. And now the girls watching that also like to exercise with her.
Sure. Monkey see, monkey do. Yeah.
From me, the influence could be more from the globe. Like, they know I like adventurous stuff. I like people. I like the world. So I think my daughters started learning Mandarin. They're quite decent now. There's almost 1.5 years of learning Mandarin. There's a teacher from Shanghai who teaches them. Mm-hmm. They know Mandarin very well. My elder daughter, Zara, wants to start a China club where you come and learn more about China. So, you know, things like that. For me, I like everything that is global.
Right. You know, in the spirit of what we see right now, or what you're seeing right now, is probably almost, I would say, a finished product in making. Like, they're in their formative years already, and all that stuff that you've done in the early years is taking shape right now, right? So that's all the effect of what's been done. How was it when it was really the formative years for Y-axis, for the company, when you were busy bringing this company up, and maybe you had immense pressure on your time and the girls were small? How was the dynamics? You're running family as a couple, you're running business as a couple, and you got little girls. How are you managing that time? What is Xavier like a dad at home when the times are tough?
There were tough times, but, you know, I never knew there were tough times. You know, I was always on top of it. I enjoyed every part of it. So we were always together. I always ran the company with Sabina. That means I'm with my wife. My wife has not gone off somewhere else, right? So we are doing it together. You know, there was not a day. I remember, you know, at one point when I started off, it was an inverted pyramid, you know, where I used to be bothered about every little thing in the company. How you write the address on an envelope. I'd be like, show me the address. Who wrote this envelope? This is not a way to write the address, right? I see a PowerPoint presentation. I'd say, what font is this? Who selected this font? This is the wrong font. So ultimately, I do every work, right? It's a PowerPoint presentation or writing the address on an envelope. And that was poor management. And then I realized, if I went home in time by 5 o'clock, everything will fall in place. And it did, right? Because work takes the time it's given, you know? And so when I started going home by 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, everything, every other function started. You know, everybody who had to do the work started doing the work. And I didn't need to be a perfectionist in everything, you know? And do it my way. So I think that played a very important role in me being at home and I'm saying I'm done with it. I think that was one of the first things that made a difference in the way we run our organization and me being at home. In the long run, what happened? I realized that it was not about a work-life balance. It was about work-life harmony. And what is the difference between the two? The work-life balance is when you do work, that means you have to take something out of life. And when you take a lot more life, you're taking something out of work. So how do you do something in harmony with both of them? Is by doing three things at the same time. Is to look after yourself. It's very important. It is to look after your family and looking after your work at the same time. And I started this conversation, technology made it possible for me to do that, to be able to blend all these three harmoniously from my home, from my, you know, I could be doing work at my table, my kids are playing, I could go to chat with them, or I could go to the gym, I could be reading a book. I think technology allowed me to do that and harmoniously balance work and life.
Mm-hmm. Since you acknowledge that for like yourself and your family and as the owner of a company, how does that play out for your employees? Is this a value that you're able to then, you know, continue through your company and through every employee, that they're able to have a little bit of control? I kind of like what we've seen with Corona. You know, everybody has been working from home. We've found ways to work remotely. It sounds like you've been doing this even before. So as a dad who realizes this is something very important that has given you guys so much, how are you as a CEO able to grant this to the people in your company?
It's a very good question. I should say I can be very idealistic about these things. And I tried that during the pandemic. So I thought, here is my world, you know, materializing itself. And it was a good thing, right? The fact that I'm able to talk to you on a video conference like this, and I feel very comfortable in this kind of conversation because I do a lot of such conversations during the day, right? I have people all across the country, and I'm able to conduct business very, very well. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer in it. But unfortunately, it never translated in the way we work in Y-Axis. You know, it required a lot of people coming to the office and working together in that place. See, I think people don't have the luxury of working at home in India because the work is not conducive to working from home. Like, you need 5 computers at home. In the sense, you're the kid, there should be 3 kids, I mean, 3 computers, right? The father is at work. The mother is at work. That means you have 5 computers. I don't have employees with 5 computers and space for 5 computers. Mm-hmm. You know, so many times employees would open up different tabs. They've got one computer at home and there's one father's tab. School is on. So it's crazy. It was just, I think we are headed there, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I think it was the first, and I'm hoping, I mean, leisure is so important, you know, that I always like people to go home, like people work with me. I also run a publication. I know they came from newspaper backgrounds where they worked until late night. For me, it's done. 6 o'clock, done. IT workers, my IT teams that I handle, they don't have any crazy deadlines that wait late into the night. So teams that work with me, even the entire company leaves by 6 o'clock. We don't do beyond that. But it seems that they have to come to work in the office for it to work. Mm. And I'm struggling with that. I hope my ideal world comes true someday.
But it sounds like, you know, we all do the best with what we can. And it sounds like that was so important for you to be home 5 or 6 o'clock, and that you're also making sure that your employees have this opportunity as well to go home and be done.
Yeah, that's for sure. They don't have to stay back. They have to come, but I don't like them to spend their evenings when they should be at home. You know, it's very mm-hmm. much part of our value system that you are back home. And so for doing that, you know, I'm trying to set up more offices which reduces the travel to work time.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to build offices that are closer to public transport and many more offices instead of central, one large office. I would have many smaller offices so that it's easier to come to work.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And Tiffany, many things that we take for granted in Germany, right, with the work culture situation here, mm-hmm. right? You already know that it's way different from America.
Well, but that's just it. Like, I enjoy hearing these things because actually I don't know. And I do forget. Yeah. You're completely right. And so to even understand, like, well, you need all these computers and the families don't have this many computers. And I mean, we were all trying to operate as we were in Corona, and it wasn't easy. I can't imagine one computer and an entire family and toggling. I mean, how unproductive to have to toggle from tab to tab and just try to get homework done and to get work done. Yeah, I can see that. It's just not feasible.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, that's remarkable. There's one more thing which I definitely want to talk about is this experience of seeing you know, the world from dad's shoulders, right? How the entire world for your girls was seeing everything from that light, that perspective. And I think that sort of, as they grew up, that probably translated through seeing the world through your dad's travels. So I would really love to talk a little bit more and get to know about your, you know, curiosity and your philosophy around travel. You've done some crazy adventure travels. And, you know, on one side, maybe the girls would be privileged to be able to experience things that regular Indians would not by being in, you know, many other European countries. But then you also have created situations for them where the travel has doesn't have to be a luxury one. It would probably be just a simple experiential way of learning about life. So tell us about what kind of travels do you guys do? What do you show them? And how do you take those experiences differently when the girls are around?
Yeah, I think I started travel and, you know, one of the first travel experiences I had and I enjoyed was someone sent me a link and I cycled from Prague to Budapest. You know, it was a nice cycling experience, 7 to 8 days. And I was hooked on. Nice. You know, then I figured out the best pleasure of travel is when you're powering the travel yourself.
Yeah.
You're traveling on your own power. So that became a very interesting sight. Then I went on a trip to Idaho. I went river rafting. You know, it took two small planes to reach the site of where I'm, Middle Fork of the Salmon River. Then I went to the Amazon. But then more interesting travel was when I started traveling with the National Geographic. See, I'm kind of nerdy in my outlook. I like to go to a place where there's geography, there is history, and all of that merged together, you know, and politics. Mm. And there could be no better place than Cuba, you know. So Cuba was a great experience, like that. And photography, where I can photograph. So Cuba, then from there I went on to walk across England. You know, you walk from one end to the other end of England. So Sabina started joining me in those travels. Then I climbed the Kilimanjaro. That is a nice experience of going up the Kilimanjaro. I went across Mongolia on horseback. That is a different experience. I did dog sledding in Sweden. So it was very good. Then I took my children on a long trek across Greece. We all went as a family. You know, so they start learning about all these things. You know, for me, it's very important to teach our kids about our world. It's very nice about the great mystery that nobody knows why we are here, what it is all about. And I like them to get the sensibilities, the way you need to see the world. See, when you started off seeing the world from a dad's shoulders, I think they got a very good vantage point, right, of looking at the world. They had a balcony seats, let me put it that way. And I know that when you tell a daughter something, it stays with her till eternity, right? So many times when I try to pass on those things to my daughters, right? You know, one of the most beautiful things that we do is we take so many pictures, right? And we never get to see them. All these memories, beautiful memories.
We talk about this so often on the pod. Really, this is a topic that comes up again and again. So I cannot, tell me your take on this. All these photos that we all have.
I take a lot of pictures. That's me. Because I don't like, it is a fleeting moment that I want to preserve forever. I don't want to forget that part, right? And I took that picture. And I'm a decent photographer, especially with the iPhone now. But the point is, if you don't sit together and see it again, what is the point, right? So now it's part of a daily regime that after dinner, we all sit, me and my daughters at least, we both sit next to me, we open the iPad, and there's something called go through the timeline.
Oh, yeah. Same time,
last year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we go through 1 year, 2 years, and it keeps changing all the photographs, right, every time. And we enjoy doing that so often.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more than just that daily practice of being together and seeing the journey that you have been on.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
I love that too.
I think, Deep, you and I, let's commit to each other maybe this weekend, even just one time, spend some time with Janusz and maybe Jackie, and I'll do the same over here. Let's go through some photos with our kiddos and see what it brings up.
Absolutely. Amen to that. I would absolutely do that. Instead of letting some random Netflix content to just pop up and show, you know, why not just control that content?
And instead of letting the algorithms lead you through your weekend, let's try to.
Yeah.
I love this idea. Xavier, that's amazing.
It's been incredible to have you here. Thank you so much. Love this conversation. We've always talked business, but this is the first time you got to talk about family and kids and parents, and there's so much to learn there as well. So thanks for sharing that. I want to give a shout out to Sabina and Chaitanya and Jay and Smitha, all the lovely ladies that I miss. Caroline, right? So say hi to them. And as any closing remarks, is there anything that you would like to say? I know there's a great work that Sabina was doing with Heal a Child. Is that still relevant?
Oh, yeah, very much. So I think we've saved about 800 kids from the jaws of death, literally saved them. And then I'm working on the Global Indian. So I like every Indian to become a Global Indian. It's basically you go out on this journey and you come back and do something for the community. It's giving back and making a difference. So we encourage that.
And these are two amazing causes, which we definitely would point our audiences to, Global Indian and Heal a Child. So the links would be in the show notes. And Xavier, if somebody wants to follow your personal journey, where can they follow you?
I have a blog, xavieraugustin.com, as well as my LinkedIn.
Fantastic. We'll throw that in the links as well. Xavier, thank you so much once again. It was lovely to have you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Tiffany. Loved it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much. Have a good one, Xavier.
Bye.
Hey guys, we hope you're enjoying the show. If you haven't already, head over to reroutingpod.com and sign up for the newsletter. Subscribers receive exclusive updates from Deep and I and are the first to know when there's a new episode out. That's reroutingpod.com. Enter your email and we'll make sure you don't miss a thing.